Nelson, the Kayak, Texas, and the Tan Dana, Tels Mai, Sri, Gurubegama, CK Tanya Maravikam, Kapitam Dana Mutale, Sayam, Rupa Padamayam, Tadati Sapanam Pika, Mansapapatu Vista, Pigipasam Nubayavita, Pikin Mahabhade Gurubas. As you know, we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this particular part of Chaitanya Charitamrita seems to be okay. Maybe a teeny bit. Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. This particular part of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chapter 10, chapter 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. It describes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities in Jagannath Puri. Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, he immediately traveled to Jagannath Puri with a particular mission. There was actually three parts of his mission. And one had to do with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and changing the heart of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the famous scholar. And the second part was to get the introductory to organize, maybe a little lower, introductory, organize the introductory meeting with Sri Ramananda Roy. And the third part was changing meeting and changing the heart of Maharaj Prataparudra. So these three persons, Mahaprabhu said, this is the reason why he actually came to Jagannath Puri, because this, in one sense, guaranteed the success of his mission. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was such a famous scholar, and he was so influential in those days. The people who were influential were the kings because of their power, and the scholars because of their great knowledge. And interestingly enough, the power was always subordinate to knowledge. Now, if it's the other way around, you end up with 2024, meaning what's going on in the contemporary world. If knowledge doesn't reign supreme, then power reigns supreme, and then knowledge has to serve power, and it can't be transcendental. It has to be supportive of power. So these were the influential people, and the most influential people were those with knowledge, because they were meant to lead society. Because if one is moving in one's life and going this way or that way, but doesn't know the proper direction and that he should be going in, and doesn't know what is to be gained in life, and doesn't know specifically that we are eternal souls, and then is acting and living one's life or ruling and guiding society without knowledge, everything is going to go naturally in a wrong direction. So knowledge specifically in this case doesn't mean in the Vedic sense it's eternal knowledge. And if the knowledge of eternality isn't dominant in one's consciousness, or in the consciousness of those who have knowledge, or in the consciousness of those who are leading, then what is going to dominate the consciousness and ultimately the society is the temporary. And if everyone is just led by the temporary, and what's important to them is the temporary, then society is naturally going to be based on economic development, simply economic development for the purpose of enjoyment. Because why is economic development so important? Because in ISKCON sometimes we call money Lakshmi. Lakshmi means fortune, or Lakshmi means it's one of the main shaktis or powers of the Supreme Lord. So to enjoy you need power. If you don't have power, you can't enjoy it. So therefore the demonic mentality is described in the Bhagavad Gita, starting with Ishvara Aham, I am the controller. Again, without shakti, without power, without financial backing, no one can control anything. And then without controlling anything, how can one enjoy oneself? So that simply becomes the basis of all of society. And someone is respected in this world according to how much wealth that he can control and command. It doesn't make a difference if one has no moral character, if one has no spiritual character. But if one has wealth and he has the capacity to enjoy, has a big boat that you can land helicopters on. Do you have a boat where you can land helicopters on?
I have a toy boat in Florida.
I hope you're enjoying nicely with that.
Some glimpse are coming.
Glimpse are coming. It's a very far away glimpse, yes. So anyway, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was such an important person. And therefore, when Mahaprabhu was only in Jagannath Puri for 1 month, practically speaking, for only 1 month, and then he went on his tour of South India. And then 2 years later, he came back, and 2 years later, this is what's occurring. He's come back to Jagannath Puri. So while he was in Jagannath Puri for that 1 month, his personal charisma means power, his personal power and the depth of his absorption in Krishna consciousness, and his beauty and his exceptional dancing, he was so attractive. He was so attractive, and he had changed the heart of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, which also affected the king, because when the king had heard that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had such a complete shift of consciousness, it's great, because that knowledge makes one very heavy, and heavy is like a mountain. It's not like mountains move very easily. So when this great learned scholar, changed, the king also changed into a Vaishnava, then the king also became interested, and we heard about that in the last class, the king became interested and immediately wanted to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he saw the power, the effect that Mahaprabhu had. He wanted to meet him, and the immediate reaction, because naturally, if a king wants to meet you, you want to be with the king, because the king has so much power, so much opulence. He has strength. He can go like this, and you have whatever the kingdom has to offer. If you want your own boat that can land a helicopter on it, you just have to, if the king calls Premananda, you're playing with toys now. Here's the real thing. And then you have it just like that. So naturally, if the king wants to see you and he's favorable to you, everyone naturally wants to see the king. When power, king means power, when power is so influential. But But the renunciant, like Mahaprabhu, I don't want to see the king. But yet, he didn't want to see the king because he was the king. But eventually, as these chapters unfold, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, he does want to see the king, but he's not attracted to his kingly opulence. He's attracted to the king's humble devotion to Lord Jagannath. So there's such a lesson in that, a simple lesson in that, that even if one is a king, even if one is a king and has that much power, it's just a teeny bit of power. And that power should be subordinate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It means it should be used in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It should be used in the service of God. So therefore, the kings in previous ages were respected so much. They had to be respected because they were acting on behalf of the Supreme Lord. So in all cultures, it used to be like that. The monarch was respected. Even in Thailand today, it's like that. You're not allowed to even say anything bad about the king. It's a crime to say anything bad about the king. Did you know that? Now you know. Yeah, because his power must be, theoretically at least, subordinate, and because he has to lead the people in the direction that's actually for their benefit. And again, the king is not independent. The king is subordinate to the knowledge, brahminical knowledge. And it's not that the Brahmins are independent and can exploit. They must be subordinate to Shastra. And Shastra is Krishna, Krishna's word. So that's the way society in the Vanashrama Vedic culture used to work, that Krishna was on top and how he was the Supreme Lord, and he would speak or inspire Shastra, which were his desires and his words, and the Brahmins would assimilate that knowledge, and the Kshatriyas would rule according to that, and on like that. So in any case, Mahaprabhu returns, and he has been away for 2 years. He had been in Jagannath Puri for just 1 month. And then he leaves for 2 years, and then he returns. So if one is in a place for 1 month and then goes away for 2 years and returns, practically speaking, no one will remember him even. Except it wasn't like that with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Mahaprabhu was so influential. And rather than no one remembered him, no one could forget him. So when Mahaprabhu comes back, and this is what we'll hear now, the king, after the request of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he organized a place for Mahaprabhu to stay, a secluded place in the home of Kasi Misra, who was the superintendent of the temple, of Lord Jagannath Temple. And amazingly enough, as soon as Mahaprabhu met Kasi Misra, because Kasi Misra's mood was he would be so honored if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would stay in his home. He would be so honored, it would be the greatest blessing to be able to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way. And Mahaprabhu immediately recognized this mood of Kasi Misra. And when he saw him for the first time, he revealed to him his forearm form. Do you remember that? He revealed to him his forearm form. He showed him that he was not an ordinary person. Just immediately, the first time he met him, he showed him that I am the Supreme Lord, I am Lord Narayan. He didn't show him his two-arm form of Krishna as he did to Krishna and Ramachandra and Mahaprabhu as he did to Ramananda Roy, but he showed him a forearm form. So then all the residents of Jagannath Puri who hadn't seen Mahaprabhu for 2 years, just imagine how attractive Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was. Just try to imagine, yes, imagine how attractive he was, that for 2 years these devotees who had never really interacted with him but had just